Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In a move that is raising eyebrows across diplomatic circles, South Africa and Iran are deepening their military cooperation under the banner of combating global arrogance. Okay, ANC combating global arrogance. I would start with their own local arrogance, but that's just my thoughts around that. To help us navigate this very, very strange geopolitical terrain, I'm joined by Stephen Groos. He's head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs, hoping he'll help us to understand what South Africa stands to gain or lose from this emerging relationship. Stephen, very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. What is the substance behind this new military alignment with Iran?
Morning, Howard. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Sorry, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat. I don't know if we know too many details about this. It's been shown that South Africa and Iran have been very close since the end of apartheid, 1994, and the ANC's links to Iran go way back even before that. This was a meeting between top military officials. I don't think we're going to be entering an alliance with Iran, if unless I'm wrong, but it is a rhetorical, symbolic statement that the two countries have a lot in common and want to deepen their relations. Of course, this is not going to play well over the pond in Washington, D.C.
Well, should it play well locally? Shouldn't South Africans be a little bit concerned given Iran's human rights issues, given their domestic policies of their behavior towards women, towards their gay community, towards freedom of speech, freedom of religion? Isn't that all, shouldn't all of that be deeply problematic and concerning for South Africans who live under a very different constitution?
Indeed, I think we're probably one of the only democracies that have such close relations with Iran. Absolutely, I think it should be of concern. The government doesn't always act in the interests of the citizens, and this is perhaps a perfect example. As you say, life is not easy for minorities, for women, for homosexuals, for dissidents, for citizens in Iran. We witnessed a 12-day war between Israel and Iran, where there were casualties on both sides and a lot of destruction and a very difficult time. Does South Africa as a democracy want to be associated with this regime? I mean, the two countries have become close over the years. South Africa has defended Iran in the United Nations when there have been criticisms of it. It's defended Iran in the International Atomic Energy Agency meetings, defending its right to have peaceful nuclear development, a right that South Africa has for itself. A recent study, I think we may have even discussed it on your show, by the Middle East Africa Research Institute, MERI, has done a very comprehensive report on the relationship between the two countries over the last 50 years, let's say. I think South Africans should make their voices heard and really question their government whether this is a relationship that is worth investing in. And finally, the two countries are also both members of the expanded BRICS. Iran was admitted in 2023, beginning in 2024, and South Africa was definitely behind that decision to admit them to the BRICS.
The concerns around what South Africa has to gain from this relationship doesn't really go away. To say that, well, they've always been our friends and assisted in the fight against apartheid or since South Africa became a democracy is a very weak one, because things change and we still have to hold our friends accountable. Good friends do. So we try and get our friends to do the right thing. So I find that argument, although a very solid one from that used by the ANC, that's obviously a little bit more problematic. But what does South Africa have to gain from this relationship with Iran?
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's certainly not trade, which is negligible between the two countries. If you consider what's at risk with the United States, with 30% tariffs, with the standoff with Washington and how difficult that relation has been. And one of the sticking points, of course, has been South Africa's closeness to Iran, to Hamas, to China, and to Russia. Really, materially, I don't think there's much to gain. There is perhaps diplomatic support and camaraderie, and both countries now, again, that because Iran is in BRICS, but even before, want to see a multipolar international order, not one where there's just one superpower, the United States, but a more balanced division of power, more evenly distributed vision of power. This is an argument the Russians make a lot, that we are in a multipolar world where there is not just one superpower. So it's symbolic. It's emotional. That's what the ties are.
The allegations around ANC funding, they continue to swirl, but as far as I understand, there is still no smoking gun there. Is that correct?
That's correct, indeed. I think many people would love to get some proof of this, but at the moment, as far as I've seen, it remains unsubstantiated and unconfirmed, but very suspicious. And so the rumor persists because you had a party that was bankrupt going into the 2024 elections, and all of a sudden it was flush with cash, and then the case was taken to the International Court of Justice. I mean, I don't buy that it was Iran who forced South Africa to go to the ICJ. I think South Africa believes that Israel must be held accountable. So I don't think they needed the Iranians, but it might have been a very nice bonus because that case is costing millions.
The fact that they talk about being anti-arrogance, anti-colonialism, I mean, these are just, it's my understanding, they're just really words. They don't really have any form of meaning. Why is it that this is where the language resides?
Yeah, it's a very interesting one. I mean, I think certainly even in the statement of the officials who went to Iran, South Africa is a little bit more measured, but Iran is putting the boot in. And sometimes I think we get dragged into places where we don't necessarily want to go. But it goes back to where we started, which is this is all about solidarity. And when the ANC becomes your friend, you're a friend for life, no matter what you do afterwards. And I think we have some very strange bedfellows.
Yeah, indeed we do. So what should we look for, and what should we demand in terms of oversight, transparency, clarity from the government, and how do we do that?
Well, ultimately, we do that every 5 years when it's time to vote. And for people who thought the ANC could never be defeated, I think the last election showed that there is massive dissatisfaction with the ruling party. I think we write articles. I think we have radio shows like yours that keep calling out this behavior. We could mount protests. We could do petitions. You know, there are a whole lot of things that can do that can demonstrate to government that many of its citizens do not approve of this and many other relationships.
Stephen Groese, that is where we leave it. Thank you, as always, for bringing us clarity. Stephen Groese is head of the African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs.